All right, Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six Podcast Maestro. All right, so yesterday I was reading on CBSSports.com, and the byline said Will Brinson. I love the fact that you're writing.
Yeah, I'm back, in the words of in the eloquent words of Michael Jordan via his agent David was it David Falk who issued the "I'm back" statement. Doing some writing these days. Got another story up today. The teams are the roughest rides for 2023. Five teams that could struggle for 2023 and beyond. By the way, the Canes, man. This Bob guy. I haven't seen a guy get this hot. I haven't seen somebody named Bob get this hot since I punched my brother in the face back when we were kids.
Let me ask this question, because you are a person who understands odds and numbers. Is Carolina at +900 to win the series? Does that seem pretty short to you?
Yeah, it seems very, very short.
Think it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, just to put that in perspective versus the NFL, like the Patriots are 10-1 to win the division, right? So, I mean, pretty unlikely, right? The Houston Texans are 9.5-1 to win the AFC South. So, it's maybe one of those cases where to avoid a ton of exposure, the number is set a little bit lower than it probably should be. Like, I mean, I don't think, you know, like I think it's probably the real number is probably something closer to like 15-1.
That's what I thought. 20-1
of Carolina actually winning it. But I mean, to your point, the Canes have played really, really well. They just, I mean, this is like the fourth straight year they just run into some goalie who's just like can't feel his face and is like insanely hot.
It is. It does seem that way. Look, I don't want to completely ignore in some ways, the Hurricanes' role in all of this. There have been chances squandered.
They've had chances to score for sure. I mean, you got to go higher. You got to elevate the puck. You got to go a little bit higher with it. You got to close around the goal. But Bob has been awesome.
He has been awesome. I was screaming into my Twitter. Can you even do that? I'm not even sure. Last night, because they kept shooting into his belly. Like, can somebody please aim at the crossbar? That's all I'm asking for. Aim at the crossbar. Hit him in the face.
Hey, look, really nice goal by the Panthers, too. Their one goal. I mean, you know, Freddie's played some pretty good hockey as well in the net. And, yeah, it's just one of those cases where, you know, I mean, again, like, this is one where you're going to get a couple of chances to finish. And you've got to finish because both goalies are playing so well.
No question. All right, let me get to some NFL things with you. I want to start with not something you wrote, but I want your thoughts on Ben Roethlisberger telling Kenny Pickett that he was rooting against him. Now, as shameful as that emotion is, because it is a shameful emotion, Ben is so jealous and insecure that he didn't want the guy who was following him, because Ben wasn't coming back, he didn't want that guy to succeed because it would make him somehow look worse. But I give him credit for at least admitting that he's shallow.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Coach K definitely is rooting for John Shire publicly.
Oh, gosh. I can't believe you went there.
Roy Williams is definitely rooting for Hubert Davis publicly. I'm sure they are. I mean, you know, publicly. When you're a Hall of Famer and you are maybe the face of your sports team or your college or what, like, I mean, maybe Roy isn't the case if you got Dean Smith, however you want to do it, but Kay obviously is Duke. Big Ben is the greatest player in Steelers history, probably. Or at least, you know, he's the first pick. When you do the Mount Rushmore, he's the first pick. Even if you're
Ben,
isn't he?
No, I don't even think he's on it.
Then you're going to lose a lot of your demographic if you yell Terry Bradshaw. Although maybe I'm losing it if I say Big Ben.
Well, I mean, as much as I don't like Terry Bradshaw, I think Bradshaw's on it over Ben. But I think the late Franco Harris. Joe Green.
Ben's on it, man. Ben's on it.
No way. No, you and I might fight about this right now. We weren't even supposed to be talking about this. I just saw the story and I brought it up.
PNC, pal. okay, fine. Let's, even if you want to say he's not the face, he's a surefire Hall of Famer who was the face of the Steelers for close to 20 years.
He was the bloated face of the Steelers.
Right, the fat face of the Pittsburgh Steelers. When you think about Steelers, the greatest quarterback in Steelers history is Big Ben. How about that?
Yeah, he's second to Terry. As much as I don't like Terry, he's second to Terry.
The larger point is, let me give you a better example. Carson Wentz, 2017, is trending to be the league MVP. The Eagles are dominating. They have an incredible defensive line, a fantastic offensive line. They're steamrolling everybody. It's like Carson goes out to L.A., he's playing his buddy Jared Goff, and he tears his ACL. The Eagles make it to the Super Bowl anyway with Nick Foles. I've never heard him comment on this. Don't need to. Don't care. I know that in his heart of hearts, Carson Wentz did not want the Eagles to win that Super Bowl. I think he believes that Super Bowl ring he got from that is a ring of shame. And that he was deeply affected psychologically by the statue of Nick Foles and Doug Peterson doing the Philly special out in front of that stadium every day when he walked to work. And so deep down in his heart of hearts, just like Big Ben, things just like other local sports people have noticed, he did not want success for the guy who followed him because it takes away from his own personal legacy. And
right.
So I appreciate Big Ben's honesty, I guess, is where I'm going with that.
No, that was my point. I mean, I appreciate somebody who admits how frail he is as a human being. Before we get out of here, I'm going to give you my Mount Rushmore of Pittsburgh Steelers. But before we do this, I texted you yesterday because I was reading your piece about your playoff predictions. And I thought it was, first of all, you don't have the Panthers winning the division. I thought they were going to go 19-0.
I had the Panthers originally, so this is the Brinson model, as it's called. It's a proprietary statistical algorithm that it's just me picking which wins and losses. But
right.
I had the Panthers originally going 10-7. I think I ended up with them going 8-9. I tweaked some stuff after I ran through the entire schedule. And not like I was trying to like come out with outcomes, just like, all right, this record, this game, when you have gaps, when you play on a Thursday after a Sunday, et cetera, you just want to make sure you get all fine tune those things. So I think that the takeaway, and this is where, I mean, it is what it is, but like I got yelled at. I was at war with Cleveland, the city of Cleveland this morning on their drive time radio show. With my buddy Ken Carmen, because I had the Browns going 7-10. But it's like, just because I had the Panthers going 8-9, and I'm not saying you're saying this, just as a general rule of thumb, like,
right.
The difference between 7-10 and 10-7 is very, very minuscule in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, about a couple of bounces, a couple of missed field goals, a couple of drop passes, like a drop interception here or there. I mean, it's really small. So, like, Panthers at 8-9 is more of me saying, like, I think this is a 500-ish team that can make a playoff run, but just didn't quite have them there.
There are certain things that are fascinating here. I didn't find that egregious. I've said this for a long time. The Panthers were not just a quarterback away from being a playoff team, even in this division. There are still holes they need to fill. The offensive line, I think, will be good. I'm still not 100% sure about wide receiver, tight end. I think it's better. Love Hayden Hurst. But I think on the defensive side, for all the work they say that they have done, I see some holes. There are some very interesting things here. What you wanted to say about a hole? Excuse me?
No, I was going to say one thing that I think is interesting, too, to know just psychologically when we start thinking about this particular season and the Panthers and the Bears is that most people think about the Panthers as having the first overall pick and taking Bryce Young, but you just sort of forget that they traded up to get that. So this is really like – this wasn't the worst team in football that just added a quarterback. It was the, a bottom third team in football with a little more upside if some things break their way that added the young quarterback. And the Bears were not the worst team in football. They were the worst team in football. So it's like, don't forget that when we're sort of plotting out. It's just sort of a weird psychological thing that kind of happens through our brains, we forget that the Panthers weren't the worst team in football.
Correct. Let's talk about one of the worst historical teams, one of the worst run teams in all of sports, the Jets.
Cardinals?
Who went out and got, they're a train wreck. let me draw this comparison. They are Tottenham in the NFL. Nobody has run worse than Tottenham or Chelsea. They're like tied. But the Jets did go out and get Aaron Rodgers. And, like, there are people talking about Super Bowl. I don't see that, but...
You know he's already hurt, right?
What?
He got hurt today. He hurt his ankle today.
Did he really?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's fine. He's walking around talking to Nathaniel Hackett. But I think it's important to note, like, you know, everyone is talking about the Super Bowl. They are talking about the Jets as a legitimate contender. They're talking about the Jets as... you know, dethroning the Bills and just dominating this already, this loaded AFC. But then you think about the fragility of what happens when you trade picks for a veteran quarterback who's had injury issues in the past, even if he's got the two MVPs. Like, one bad injury to Rodgers and this Jets season is down the toilet. Like, Zach Wilson is trending on Twitter for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, look, there are some good signs about Rodgers. Rodgers is at OTAs. He never went to these with Green Bay. He's already been there, spent more time in the offseason. He really didn't have any other option. He had to, with a new team and a new system and new everything. Not to mention the fact that he knows he'd get skewered and it would be deserved, in the New York media if he didn't show up. But I give him credit for being there. The Eagles, the greatest team we've ever seen, not really, but close. You have not even winning the division in the NFC East. Tell me.
Mostly just trolling my podcast producer, who's an Eagles fan. But I think in all seriousness, you have I had the Eagles in the Super Bowl last year and nailed that one. Yay me. But you've got a Philly team that had the easiest strength of schedule in the entire NFL last year. They now have the hardest strength of schedule. The NFC is wide open, so there's really only like four good teams. I mean, it's crazy how thin the NFC is. So I certainly expect them to make the playoffs, but for that not to be a problem. But you lose your offensive coordinator, you lose your defensive coordinator, you lose some key free agents. That's what happens when your team is good. I mean, this is there's attrition there that people aren't accounting for. And when you go from having the easiest schedule in all of football to having the hardest schedule in all of football and being a team that went to the Super Bowl from the NFC and having a target on your back, life gets a little harder. There's a lot more tape of Jalen Hurts out there for people to study. You know, Shane Steichen, is gone. I mean, Nick Sirianni, great play caller, great offensive designer, but you still got to reincorporate all these pieces. We saw it with the Bills last year. It's not always that easy. The Eagles fans are like, well, we lost Super Bowl, we'll just win it this year. It's like, not, dude, that doesn't work. You just don't win the Super Bowl the next year. I mean, they could. But there's a lot of teams in the AFC. The AFC is going to produce a very good team in the Super Bowl, and there's going to be some surprise teams in the NFC, whether it's the Lions, Falcons, Panthers.
Yeah.
The Rams could bounce back. It's
Nah, they won't.
Football is it, probably not. Football is a year-to-year proposition, and expecting consistent success just doesn't happen outside of a few very rare teams.
All right, literally 30 seconds. By the way, you have the Lions winning their division. Here's what I found most interesting about this whole thing, and it wasn't even a team that made the playoffs in your mind. Chiefs, you have running away by 5 games in the AFC West. You have the Chargers missing out on the playoffs. So in 10 seconds, tell me which week it will be when Brandon Staley is fired.
14.
Week 14. Mark it down. Yeah. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. He is writing again, people. Content. I love it. Will, you're the man. I will talk to you later. Thanks.
All right. See you, buddy.